Guys, welcome back to the JP and Trav Show, live from OU Insider. As always, your host with the most, Jalen Posey. To my far right, I have my esteemed co-host, brother, and friend, Travis J. Davidson. Travis, how you feeling, bro?
Man, I'm great. 10 days out from the wedding, so exciting stuff. I got a lot of questions as to why I wasn't at SEC Media Days. And just being 10 days out from the wedding is a sufficient answer. So I will be next year in Nashville. I know I will not have a wedding. I plan this to be my last one. But I'm excited because, you know, it's talking season and it's list season and all that kind of stuff. Well, we've got a guest today who is well-versed in the list, well-versed in the talking. We've got Jake Crane, host of the National Sports Show, Crane and Cone, where you get double the Crane. So may look at a show like JP and Trav. There's only two of us, JP and Trav. So we don't have two guys named JP or anything like that. But we got Crane and Coast. We got Jake Crane. Couldn't be more excited. Thanks for hopping on with us. How you doing, brother?
Oh man, I'm doing great. Congrats on the marriage coming up here in 10 days. Yeah, hopefully that's the only one. Same plan as me. The reason I'm not at Media Days, my wife is due next week, which means that the baby could come at any point in time. And I love football. I love sports. I love talking about it. But there's no way in hell I wasn't going to be here. Yeah, not only for my new child, but for my wife as well. So now a lot of stuff going on before season, man. The kickoff before kickoff, as they would say.
Yeah, it's been a really fun time, man. Obviously, like we talked about before, you put out something that was just perfect for you coming on the show today, talking about the best defenses in the SEC, who we obviously believe we do, and it's nice to hear from the national perspective, that you guys feel the same way. And heading into that, Jake, one of my first questions for you is, do you feel like Oklahoma is properly respected by the rest of the SEC right now? Because you got a lot of you had a lot of detractors in the comments I saw earlier today.
I think whenever you're new into it, regardless of how you're doing, Oklahoma made the college football playoff last year. You know, I think Texas still catches some of this. The newbie's always going to get hazed for a while, but the real people that I think understand the game, I know the coaches and the players throughout the league and other places, you have to respect Oklahoma. And you look at some of the big brands that were in the league before them. I mean, it made sense for Oklahoma and Texas to come in the SEC because they're both big brands. They have amazing tradition. And like the rest of us in this conference and really at a lot of places in college football, you guys are nuts about this like we are. You're 100% Shutter Island nuts about it. So I think you'll have the people that poke fun of still kind of being the new kid. But with what Brent's done, with what Oklahoma looks like they can do, with where they've positioned themselves, you just won the Natty in baseball, too. We'll see with basketball. But, man, I think at the end of the day, the real ones respect Oklahoma. The ones who really don't know what they're looking at or just hate Oklahoma in general, regardless of what they do, they're always going to be there. But I think for the most part, they're well-respected.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. Maybe it was my brand spanking new sticker still on it, national champions hat from baseball season. We talk a lot about how the SEC, it's like that's really their best sport is baseball. A lot of people just got caught up in the big football and, you know, the big run they've gone on really, in the last two decades or so. But baseball, they're on what, seven straight titles as a conference?
Yeah.
And baseball culture in the Southeast is just so strong. How much do you think a baseball national title affects the national conversation about OU athletics as a whole? I know it's the third most popular, theoretically, TV revenue-wise behind football and basketball, but there are people, are there people out there that are like, oh, yeah, this is what these guys do?
I mean, yeah, again, if you're a fan of all three, you have some people that are just fans of football and that's all that matters. I think you could say a similar thing. I think basketball, you have a little more cachet nationally than college baseball. But again, if you're a fan of all three, you realize how important that is and how tough that is to do. But the funny part with Oklahoma is that team that just won the latest Natty in baseball, they're the second best team on campus traditionally that swings at a ball with a bat. Oklahoma softball still to this day, and they should, with what Coach Gasso has been able to do, is more respected than any softball program out there, save, you know, maybe Texas. We can look at Florida and what they did. But, I mean, it helps. But I don't think, you know, a person's going to be like, you know what? I'm going to stop trashing Oklahoma in football because of that basketball or that baseball College World Series title. I don't think it has that much push. But, look, it's another cool thing to put in the trophy case that, you know, a lot of other SEC schools, regardless of how many times they've won it in a row, can't say they have. So, yeah, it's good. There's no way anything bad can come out of that.
And to your point, you know, you talked about just because we won a baseball championship doesn't mean that Texas fans are giving us any grief about, you know, or not giving us any grief, excuse me, about not scoring on them in however many, you know, thousands of days. People are still going to talk about
Oklahoma. Yeah, that doesn't erase that pain. Like, there's only one remedy for that ailment. And that's dropping a 35-piece with Cajun fries and a honey biscuit during the during Red River. This shootout.
You have to. And going into that, what's your opinion on what the biggest question is OU needs to answer this season? Right?
Easy question. Because if they answer this question, it'll take care of an answer to another big question. Probably the two biggest questions. One, the offensive line. And look, I don't think a lot of people realize, and we've talked about how poor they were last year in general. What happened with Jaden Ott? I mean, he's on the back of a milk carton all year. They're trying to find this guy. But you did throw some young guys out there into the fire. Like, this wasn't like it was a older group that had been together for a while or that was perfectly tooled that you expected big things from. I don't think you expect it to be that bad, but there's no way I think they can be that bad again. You look at the young guys who got experience that are talented. You look at what they're able to do in the transfer portal. You look at Harris coming over, things like that. And if the offensive line is able to, you don't have to win the Joe Moore Award. You don't have to be the Eagles offensive line. That's not what I'm saying. You just have to be good enough to let the other pieces hit their potential. Because last year, and y'all know this, hell, Mateer was the run game, man. And I love Blaylock. I think they have talent, but it was the offensive line. Because the reason the quarterback run game is so dangerous is because typically, unless you're an empty, you get an extra hat in the box to block. So you have a true hat for a hat against the defense, right? That safety wants to come in the box. Like, all the coaches get upset during an inside drill. Oh, the safety's in here. Oh, the safety's in here. All right, cue power. Let's go and get a hat on a hat then. So I think if the offensive line, and this is obvious, but if they ever run the ball and have more success, it makes you more balanced and it takes a lot more pressure off John. Because God almighty, guys, how many times can a team get in third and eight in 1 year? I'd love to look at the numbers. The third down and average distance for Oklahoma last year, I bet it's gross. It's gross. So you can't expect – this is football. This isn't baseball. This isn't basketball. One guy can't go out there and win the game. John wasn't perfect. I'm not saying he was. But you had no run game, and you were in third and long. All right? That just – that doesn't work in this sport. I don't care who's at quarterback. So the offensive line handles business, which I think they will. I think, to be honest with you, that's the only thing they really had to fix. I mean, that team last year made the playoff and couldn't run it a lick. So if you're able to run the ball well this year with those fence biters that Brent's got on defense, like, I mean, damn, they're a problem. I know the schedule's not a walk amongst the tulips, but damn it, you got to go out there and play it anyway. So I don't know. I feel like that's the biggest question. That's the only question. Guys, that's the only question.
Yeah, and it's interesting. There was somebody with CBS, I think it was Brockermeyer, that, you know, played in the league for a while and played at Texas. He had Oklahoma ranked as the number five offensive line in the country. And we read it live on air, and I was like, if we're that
– like going into this year?
Yeah.
Bro, y'all, look, I'm telling you right now. I'll talk like right here in the camera and say this. If Oklahoma has the fifth best offensive line in the country, and they play like it, right, you earn that ranking, I am going to have a hard time not having Oklahoma in the Final Four and probably the national title game. That's how big of a question that is to me.
Yeah, because at that point, I think that most people have I think if somebody said, hey, Oklahoma's a top five defensive line, I think most people be like, okay, yeah, I can get there.
Well, yeah, I'd be like, top five. Let's talk top three.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, when you look historically, whether NFL or college, you got top 10, you know, top five lines on each side. You take care of the trenches, you're going to take care of everything else. But I mean, when I saw that, I'm glad I was sitting down, because it would have knocked me over had I heard it.
But, well, nobody's going to pick Oklahoma to win it all. I'm telling you right now, nobody's going to do it outside of, you know, Oklahoma fans, right?
Yeah,
diehard Oklahoma media personalities. I don't know. I'm flirting with it. Like, she looks good from across the bar, but, you know, until I get up close in the light, I don't know yet. But from here, she's looking good.
Yeah. You know, high risk, high reward situation, right?
Look, nobody's I'll take picking. A shot. I mean, now I can't, but I mean, back in the day, look, I'll take a shot.
Yeah. Yeah. Why not? Right. Why not? But, you know, speaking of a little bit earlier, your show, you've got a Michigan man there, former Michigan quarterback, a fellow Michigan man, just got extended 4 years. Jim Nagy, I know you've been able to have conversations with him and gotten to know him over the especially his time at Oklahoma. What's your current perception of Jim Nagy? What do you think the perception is of Jim Nagy going into this season? He's kind of got his feet wet now. He's into the real college GM game. And then how did you feel about Oklahoma extending him already for another 4 years?
Yeah, that Michigan AD spot's interesting. I don't know if Jim would take that, but it is funny. We kind of floated that out there. Please don't shoot the messenger. Here's what I'll say about Jim Nagy, and I really got to know Jim. I went to school in Mobile, went to college in Mobile.
Nice.
Got to know him really well because of the Senior Bowl ties, being in Mobile, and God, I've been friends with him for God probably 4 or 5 years now. And when he got the job at Oklahoma in this role, because if you know Jim. He's a football savant. Like he knows what he's looking at. He understands how to communicate what he's looking at to other people. Those are two totally different skill sets, but he has both of them. The thing I can, and I think it was Parker Thune or somebody I went on the show. I was like, you got to understand, this dude is probably the best at this. Like, if I had to pick a guy in his role to do what he has to do, that has a certain skill set or multiple skills within a skill set, Jim Nagy is top of my list. So, duh, they extended him because they know. Brent, I'm sure, knows. All the coaches on that staff know. This isn't Jonah Hill from Moneyball, okay? This guy isn't sitting down there doing Pythagorean's theorem and eating Twinkies and ding-dongs in between the time. This guy is 100% serious, unbelievably analytical, but is organized, but he's not one of the guys that has to be this way, or this is exactly how it has to be. He's got feel. He's malleable. So, yeah, I mean, I think Jim's the top of his class, man. I mean, I think he's the top of the top. So I'm not shocked that he's done well. I'm not shocked that he got extended. Hell, I'd already extend him again probably if it was me.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of us around Oklahoma, Jake, a lot of us thought, hey, man, we're pretty sure, to your point, he's the best at this, right? He's the only one with the unique skill set of scouting college players, being around college players, knowing every college coach. His Rolodex is the best in the sport. It has to be. He knows every agent. He knows all the NFL
perfect
teams.
In the NIL era, man, too.
He's perfect. So, you know, our concern, I suppose, around, you know, Norman was, okay, does he take this college gig for 2 years and then, you know, an NFL job opens up and it's, it is the NFL. It's my dream. I got to go. But him signing the
extension. Well, I mean, how can you get mad? Like, it's what I said about Dusty May and Harbaugh at Michigan. Like, if I'm getting mad at the AD because all of our coaches are getting hired in the pros, that kind of seems like it's a weird thing to get mad at, right? It's like, I wouldn't get mad at a AAA ball player who loves the city he's in, playing for the Montgomery Biscuits or whatever, and loves the manager. What are you going to do? Be like, no, don't go play for the Brewers. Stay here in AAA. It's all, no, it's, look, some guys have that want to go to that league. Other guys don't. But I do think it's different GM and coach, right? Like, how many times have we seen college GMs get called up to do the same thing in the NFL? I can't remember a time when that's happened. Maybe somebody in the comments can correct me. But look, if somebody calls Jim Nagy and they're like, we want you to be the GM of the Chargers or something, I mean, dude, yeah. I mean, what am I going to get mad at you?
Yeah, sounds like we'd have Chargers draft picks.
Those are high-class problems. That's what we call them. Those are high-class problems.
Yep.
My steak, oh God, my jet ski ran out of gas.
Steak is too juicy. My lobster.
Yeah.
Too
there's not enough butter on this lobster.
Yeah.
No.
It's and I think with that, I mean, Oklahoma had two position coaches, to your point, hired away to two AFC contenders. DeMarco Murray goes to the Chiefs. and we lose our corners coach to the Bills, Jay Velasquez.
Yeah, so, I mean, that is a huge compliment to Brent Venables, is what that is.
I'd say so. I mean, and we talk about, you know, continuity and Jim Nagy going into year two with BV. I think it just becomes even scarier, in my opinion, for the rest of college.
Well, yeah, the machine's more built now. It's not finished, but, like, you know where you're not having to, like, Tony Stark and Iron Man build the thing out of scraps in a cave. Like, yeah. Now you're in the Stark Tower or whatever it's called. You're just plugging it in now. Like, it should be easier. It should be more efficient. It should be more streamlined. And again, that's how it's supposed to go. That's typically the way it works.
Well, and with that, like, do you end up, as you look at teams across the country, Jake, how much do you look at continuity when you make, like, predictions, right? It's like, I remember I used the example of in 2022, you know, Brent Venables got here, Jeff Lebby got here, also an SEC coach, obviously. You had, you know, Brent was kind of over the defense, Ted Roof, who I think just won his lawsuit against UCF, attaboy Ted Roof. But it's like, there's a whole Dylan Gabriel's there and all, it's a whole lot of new. And when I, you know, talk to, you know, people around Oklahoma, you know, in that locker room that had been on the team, I'm like, how's the team going to be this year? They just were like, whole lot of new. There's just a whole lot of new. So when people are like, you know, obviously this Michigan game coming up, starting the year with a bang in week two as Oklahoma travels to Ann Arbor, it's like the reason I give Oklahoma the edge, just from a, like, not getting into personnel and schematics and this, that, and the other, is simply because you got a new head coach and it takes a little bit of time for that to stick. And I know in the portal era, everybody goes, no, everybody needs to go quick. Look at what Cignetti did. I said, Cignetti was built on continuity. He had the same coordinator since they were like 11 years old.
Yeah, he brought that core group over from JMU to help.
Yeah,
the
so it's like, so yeah. The model to me is continuity wins. So I put a little bit, maybe 1% extra in, do you return your head coach? Do you turn your quarterback? And if you can do those two things, then I start kind of going coordinators. But how much do you put into continuity when you kind of grade teams across the country?
Well, I mean, it's huge. It's basically saying experience, but experience together, not individually. But I think, again, every team is circumstantial. I don't – like, the guys who make the predictions that are just like, all right, well, you have this block of teams that are somewhat similar. They have similar problems. Are they good at similar things? So I expect this same result. I don't feel like that's the best way to do it. What do I mean by circumstantial in continuity? Well, you have coaches that have been in a place a while, and they have the system built. They have players that have been there a while. That's the best type of continuity, right? Everybody's been doing this for a while. It's typically why older teams win. But then you have the continuity of, hey, Lane Kiffin brought Charlie Weiss Jr. to LSU. He brought some of the players. Didn't bring a quarterback he's coached before. So there is some continuity, but there's not a ton of it. Or there's coaching continuity or not player continuity. To me, I always try and take who people are, though, as the value. Like, Lane Kiffin, I know the offense is going to be good. I don't care how long he's been at LSU. Just like with Brent, I know the defense is probably going to be pretty good. That, regardless of how long he's been at Oklahoma, now it helps. He's been there a while. They're going to be even better. So, yeah, I take it into account. But, again, if you have the pieces, if you have the players, because that's what this whole thing comes down to. Like, make no mistake, coaching is 30% of it. Maybe. I may be overselling it because I was in the business. The rest is how good your players are. I've coached on staffs that had phenomenal coaches. We didn't have great players. Surprise, we lost. Maybe we didn't lose by as much as we would have if we had bad coaches, but we still lost. And I've been on some staffs that had half good coaches, but we had all the dudes. And guess what? We won. You look like a savant. So I try and take it on a case-by-case basis, and I go off what I know. But you also have to understand there's always good and bad surprises. Like, whenever I'm doing predictions for a conference, I'm always like, we know there's going to be one. We know there's going to be at least one on each side. One team's not going to live up to the hype. Another team's going to come out of nowhere. That's where I get off the coach mode and just try and go in instinct mode sometimes. It's like a couple years ago. I said, look, I think SMU's going to make the playoff. And people thought, I mean, they were throwing vegetables at me when I'd walk in the street. Well, surprise, SMU makes the playoff. Why? Feel. And you look at schedule. There's so many things that go into the recipe of figuring this out, and it's still really hard. Hell, it's hard for the coaches, and they get to really pick the players now.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And you bring up something that is in the news again. It's in the news every couple of years, it feels like. You brought up your coaching experience. you open your show talking about the football credentials of the rest of your host panel, right? And then obviously recently Ryan Clark is in the news. He's been let go of ESPN. Are from ESPN. The conversation between him and Peter Schrager comes up of, hey, you didn't play ball. This is the non-player. And then it comes up more recently with other athletes in the past that have tried to pull that card on Schrager. And it's just, where do you land as a guy who, like I said, you open your show with the football credentials of the people that are on, you know, hosting the show. Where do you land on the whole conversation of, hey, look, if you didn't play, then you don't quite have the credibility or you don't belong at the same desk as somebody who did?
I don't buy it. I think there's things like that in every walk in life. You know, playing and coaching just in general are two totally different things. There's some great players that are terrible coaches. There's some guys that couldn't play. Pete Carroll wasn't winning the Heisman, you know what I'm saying? But he could coach for sure. So I think there are two different skills. But as far as analysts in the media, I think it's easier to find out who knows what they're talking about by just what they're saying. I don't even have to look. I mean, there's guys that are obvious that played, like when Tim Tebow talks, like, oh, well, it's Tim Tebow. That's great. That doesn't make you a great analyst. There's guys that are great players that are not good analysts. And again, that has nothing to do with their ability playing, but you should never, I think, discount somebody just because they didn't play at the highest level. Or, you know, if you haven't played, somebody that's followed it their whole life. I know plenty of guys that didn't play that I talk ball with that understand it, that can speak the language. Hell, one of the best GAs I worked with never played a lick of football in his life, but that son of a gun could come up with it and tell you about it and tell the players about it, and he's still coaching, at a really high level. So I think the thing that happened with Ryan, because if you remember, first of all, Ryan Clark was a fun player to watch, man. Ryan could – from LSU on, like, right, yeah. Ryan was a dog on the field.
He's a hitter.
Yeah, and when he first started in media, he was about ball. It was about ball knowledge. Like, if you go back and look at Ryan Clark early, it's like, all right, hey, man, this dude's talking about ball. And I don't know what switched or what flipped. I don't know when it happened, but then it just became all about, like, ancillary stuff. Like, oh, well, this dude, he's white, or this dude is black, or whatever. I've just never, especially if you've played sports, I don't know how you could ever look at it that way. Because whenever you're playing, I regardless of what sport I played, I never looked over and was like, oh, all right, well, you're white, so I'm going to do this. No, you were my teammate. That's the best part about sports. That should be the beauty of sports. The baseball does not care what color your skin is when it's heading toward home plate. The football does not care when it's in the air, whether it's a white corner, a black corner, an Asian corner, a gremlin, an Oompa Loompa, or the fairy godmother. It don't matter because the ball don't lie. So I thought he just – I know it gets a lot of clicks. I think Acho kind of did the same thing. I just – like, you instantly lose any credibility that or equity that you've built up when you go that way. So, nah, man, I'll never discount somebody – because they didn't play or maybe didn't do what I did, because there's stuff that guys have done that I haven't done. I don't have all the answers. I don't know everything. There's guys out there that are way smarter than me. So yeah, man, just I don't know. Like, Ryan just flipped the script so quick. It's sad to see. And I mean, you see what happens, right?
Yeah, and I think to your point, it's like, and there's so many different styles. Like, is there theoretically a right answer on how to do football yet? I mean, there's nobody that got every single top player and won every single championship, even though everybody feels like Saban did. But it was like, you know what I mean? Like, there's different styles. Like, there's not one scheme that's better than all of them, I guess. It's who executes their scheme.
Dude,
but there's just so much nuance to talking sports that it's like.
Well, there is, especially talking it. Like, it's because there are some people that understand things that can't explain. There's players that can tell you when you turn the film on exactly where the ball is going, but you put them in front of a mic on a set with other people to have a, you know, broadcast type conversation, right? Which we all know what I'm meaning. And they can't do it. So again, like, I will judge you based on the merit of what you are doing. That's what I look at it. I don't look at somebody and say, oh, well, this guy only played 50 snaps in 2021 or whatever. No, if you can do it, you can do it. It's like that movie about that Indian kid that, like, just read one math book and he knows, like, all finite math and stuff. And they ask him, like, how do you know this? And he's like, I just do. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, so,
like, all the Skip Bayless and
dude, Stephen, it's so bad. Like, look,
where they bring up their, like, high school stuff. It's like, Bro, they're some of the biggest people in the history of sports media because
they average 2 points. 2 points. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, well, it's, I mean, and again, I, you know, you have some people that just say crazy stuff just to say it. And I don't think that works either. You know, there's a start of, I don't know if you ever heard the song Pound Cake by Drake and Jay-Z.
Of course.
The beginning of that, the guy's like, you know, only real music's going to last. Yep. The other stuff is here today and it's gone tomorrow. To me. And then that beat hits.
Boom. Yeah, it's hard. Champagne in the studio.
Yeah, I mean, you're making me feel younger now.
Yeah. We play a little Pound Cake on the outro, I guess. I don't get demonetized. Never mind. We'll keep the Drake off. You know, we don't want OVO attorneys coming after us.
Indeed.
No, that'd be a cool way to get sued, though.
It would.
They got sued by OVO XO.
Well, Jake, we got a few minutes left here, man. Again, appreciate your time. We got some rapid fire questions for you.
Ooh, I like
just
this.
We're going to have for you here. So, first one up, elite coordinator or Group of Five head coach. If you had your own program and you're needing to fill, you know, a coordinator spot, are you going after somebody who's been proven in that way or as a proven
like a big job, big, you know, big
Yeah. I mean, we've seen some. I mean, we watched Kane Womack. Good. You know, go to Bama as the DC, as the head coach at South Alabama. I would probably say, give me the elite coordinator that's been in the space. I don't want a reversion. I don't want to have to deal with a guy who ran his own program. Now he's not running his own program, but he feels like he got a promotion trying to tell me how to run my stuff. So give me the elite coordinator that's already been in the space.
I'm talking to hire as a head coach. Say you're the
AD.
Head coach. Okay, so, AD. I misunderstood that one.
In the SEC right now, you've got three coaches from the American Athletic Conference. Brent Venables, who did it. You got a Kirby Smart.
Well, let me put it this way. I think you cannot pigeonhole yourself into saying, I am going to hire a coach like this or from this. Or if you're Florida – say, you know what? We hired a Group of Five guy last time. It didn't work out. We can never hire another Group of Five guy. No, what do? They hired who they thought, and I agree with them, is the best guy for the job, and that's John Summerall. Again, because we've watched multiple guys with from multiple places. We've seen guys from the G5 come over and have success. We've seen – if you had told me Brian Kelly wasn't going to work out at LSU that bad, that would have shocked me. Curtis Cignetti goes to Indiana, goes undefeated, and wins the Natty. Brian Kelly, he's going to be on CBS Sports this fall. That it's just crazy. So I think if you're an AD, if I was an AD, I am going based off the best guy for the job. I'm not going based off, you know, because again, if a blonde broke your heart in high school, what are you gonna do? Never date another blonde again? What if the one for you is a blonde? She's a knockout. She's smart. She likes to cook, right? She lets you watch Game of Thrones without freaking out. I don't know. That last one, some felt a little personal.
That felt personal. Love you. She's under. Hey, you're about to have a baby. You know, you gotta make sure.
Oh yeah. Look, we've battened down the hatches. We have a travel ban. It's all inclusive right now.
All right, next one, real quick. What's the best quote you heard or have heard from SC Media Day since you've been paying attention?
Probably Summerall on the podium. I think it's funny. I think it's funny when the coaches are funny. When Summerall's like, yeah, you know, we played Ole Miss twice at Tulane. We played him with Lane, and they beat the shit out of us. And then we played him again with a new head coach, and, well, they beat the shit out of us again. I don't know. I feel like we have more real coaches. Like, we know who these guys are in the SEC right now than before.
And a big young push.
A big young push. I thought Pete was hilarious, but if you know Pete, like, that's Pete. Like, you're not surprised. But I'll go Summerall on that one.
Summerall with the quote. Good.
Okay, last one. How many head coach openings are there after this season in the SEC?
You don't have to name names. I know you know these guys.
No, that's a good one. That's a good one. I knew the last one was going to be thick. Second time I've said that. I would say after this year, now this could be for firing or taking other jobs, right?
Yes.
I'll say two.
Okay, so he's got Lane to the Dallas Cowboys. And he's got
he's going to leave him during the playoff run?
Yep.
Dak needs me now.
Two.
I'll say two.
Two, yeah. I mean –
One expected, one unexpected.
Yeah, I think there's one clear hot seat, but yeah.
Shane, it's on fire for Shane right now.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because what a guy.
Ah, dude, like, I say this every time. Like, and y'all know, Shane Beamer may be the coolest SEC coach.
For real.
To be honest.
Yeah. He's just, I mean, there's still people at Oklahoma that are like, man, can we get him back somehow? Like, we love that guy. When I was, like, some of our tight ends, like, got mad because he didn't let them come, like, directly. Like, Oklahoma was about to have, like, no special teams or tight end play. Like, they were like, we all want to go just wherever Shane goes. Yeah, we love that guy.
I'm rooting for him, man. I really am.
Yeah, I hope he turns it around. Just, not where it costs Oklahoma anything. So win every game except when you ever play Oklahoma, Shane.
There you go.
And he actually, what's crazy is I was out there during – so when OU went to – or when we were announced we were going to the SEC, I started going to SEC games on OU's bye week to kind of, you know, do a little research, you know, a little advanced scouting. Well
– oh, God, okay, Stallions.
I went to the South Carolina Florida game a couple years ago, and I had an OU polo on, right? Well, he sees me on the cock walk, points, and gives me a very loud boomer while he's
That's ballsy. That's he must have had a lot of job security back. He wouldn't do that again if
before we were in.
They'd be like, "Hey, shoot that guy! Shoot that guy right there! Shoot him!
Take him out!
Yeah, shoot that guy!"
Yeah, he had a lot of security because, like, obviously cameras are shooting it. You know, it's a big moment, and he just lets out a boomer. I'm like, that's not going to sit well.
Yeah. Okay, Jake, I lied to you. This is a classic JP and Trav question. After this, we're ending the show.
All right.
Flats or drums?
Oh, easy. Easy answer. It's flats, dude.
Thank God. You can come back. That's good.
It's flats. If you just get the drums.
Excellent.
Like, I don't know. I think there's some questions we need to ask.
You just have to have a handle to your food, and you don't actually value the food. Like, you can't – there's nothing good about a drum. Like,
yeah, it's the sippy cup of proteins. Like
it's the sippy cup of – that's the best one I've ever heard it said. Sippy cup of proteins. Excellent. Yeah,
you can use
Well, Jake, thanks for coming on the show, brother.
Anytime, boys.
Yeah, let people know really quick where they can find you, what you know, everything you guys are doing, if they don't know you by now, which they should. But if they don't, let me find you, man.
Yeah, well, first off, thanks for having me, guys. Anytime you need us, we're always here. Yeah, look, if you love ball, like, again, if you're watching this, then you do. If you haven't heard about us, best way to find us, YouTube. It's Crane and Cone, C-R-A-I-N and Cone. Put out a lot of content all the time, but especially during the season, there's going to be a lot. I'm super high on Oklahoma, so I can get your hopes up if you want to come over there and let me gaslight you a little bit. But, yeah, come hang out with us, and appreciate y'all having me, man.
Absolutely, and congrats on the pregnancy.
Yeah, I was, I did my part.
Atta boy.
Yes. All right, y'all be good.
See you, Jay.
All right, Boomer.
All right.